Book of Matthew chapter 1. We're going to go into verse number 16 this morning. You glad to be alive this morning? Amen. You glad to be a child of the God today? Amen. Amen. You glad your future home's heaven? Amen. Amen. You glad you have the Bible in your hand? Amen. Amen. You glad to see each other this morning? Amen. I like that you folks can talk in church. Amen to that. It's always good. Book of Matthew chapter number 1 this morning. We're going to read verse number 16. The title of this message this morning is, Who Was Joseph? Who was Joseph? And we're going to go through a good portion of this morning. By the way, I was sitting with the teachers yesterday. We were talking about, you know, some things. I gave them some things to, some goals to try to achieve in this next year. And one of the things that popped up in my mind, I was thinking, man, I really want to sit down with them and I want to figure out how they come up with their lessons that they're coming up with. Because God works in different ways. And I say this for a reason. God uses you folks to give me messages. And I'm not saying that to be, oh man, he's really looking at my life, he's got some ammunition. No, that's not it. That's not it. We all got plenty of ammunition on each other. And I'm not about that. No, just through conversations, I listen to folks and what they're going through and what they're studying, questions that they ask. So those things kind of spur my mind. It gets me to think. And this is where we're at this morning. Let's read verse number 16 this morning in the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. It says this. It says, And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we are grateful this morning that we're able to have your word, to have the whole counsel of God this morning. And I say the whole counsel because I know there are some countries this morning that just has a portion of your word. Lord, the things that they go through just to get the whole word of God to them is unbelievable. But God, we have it this morning from you, and we're thankful for that. God, I pray that you'd help us to be attentive to your word this morning, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. So, why Joseph, and who is Joseph, or who was Joseph? Joseph, obviously, is the earthly father of Jesus at this point in time in his life, and we hear about Joseph for a good portion of Jesus' childhood, but after the childhood of Jesus, we don't really know anything about Joseph. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know if he died. We don't know those things. Obviously, now we know he's dead, but back then, we don't know of these things. But who was Joseph? Well, the first thing that I want to point out this morning, if you haven't already figured it out, is this. Joseph was from the lineage of David. Do you know that Joseph was from a royal family? Think about that. Think about being from a royal family. All the things that come with it. This morning, we're talking over here this morning, and Ron walks in. And Dennis, he gets up, and he moves over, and he goes, No, I'm going to move because, Ron, you're royalty. And, you know, it was a joke, but you know, I kind of laughed about it because they had no idea where I was going to be going this morning. But, man, when I think of royalty, I'm just like, that's what I think of royalty, you know. But royalty, they have a place, they have a position in life, they have a job that they have to do. They have certain parts of the country that they're assigned to be a representative for the king. You look at the royal family, that's how they operate over in England. For many years, they have their own section that they got to go to, that they represent, that they work for, that they go back to the queen, or now they go back to the king, and they give updates, they give reports. But Joseph was from the lineage of David. As we talk about David for the next few moments, I want to talk about this. Today, even today, David is still considered the greatest earthly king to have walked. As you go over into the land of Israel, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, wherever you may go, David is still talked about very highly to this very day. Joseph, according to Jewish tradition, would have been around 18, maybe 16 years of age when he and Mary got married. They got married young over there. Think about that. Most young men have no idea what they're going to do in their life. There are some young men here this morning that are 17, 18 years of age, and they're worried about their next chapter in life. Man, I'm graduating high school, and now after high school, what do I do? Do I stay back and just go to work and get right involved in the work world, or do I go out into the world and gather some education and further myself so I can have more knowledge and get a better job to help me longer down the road? Those are the things that are on the mind of young men today. But back then, this was different. Joseph had a different mindset. And that was this, was to marry Mary. So he's a young man. Mary, at this particular point in time, would have been between the ages of 13 and 15. Think about that. Who has a daughter in here that's 13 and 15 years of age? You can't imagine shipping your daughter off to get married. Well, maybe you can. I don't know. It all depends on your relationship with him. But think about that. 13, 15 years of age, and now they're into their next chapter of life to go out and to get married. And on top of that, they have a child that they're going to have to take care of. Kids taking care of an infant. Think about that for a second. Now, I remember when I got married, I was a young man. I was 19 years of age. Some people wait a little bit longer to get married. But I was 19 years of age, and I knew that's exactly what I wanted to do. And I knew exactly who I wanted to marry, who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. That consumed my thoughts, that consumed my mind. By the way, it still consumes my thought, and it still consumes my mind today. It truly does. My heart still pitter-patters for her when I see her. Oh, man, what did I do? Am I in trouble? No, my heart still pitter-patters for my wife. I enjoy being around her. We got married young. We know as we continue to look at the life of Joseph, he lived in the region of Nazareth. Nazareth, at this point in time, even today, is a very, very busy city. Nazareth is the place at the age of 12 when Jesus was around. He went into the temple and began to speak to the rabbis and begin to educate them. It's a very hilly hillside. It's very treacherous. You're always going up, it seems like. It is the place where I was able to be fortunate enough to watch my brother lead a song, "He Is Here," in a very place that our Lord and Savior spoke. Even though it's been torn down many times, they build right off of the foundations. And as Jeff was being so blessed to lead us in singing, I'm thinking, man, is that where Jesus stood? It's not a very big place. It's rather small. It's smaller than this auditorium. But it is there in Nazareth where Jesus spoke to the rabbis. We do know some things about Joseph here is this. He was a believer in Israel's God. We do know that he had a relationship with God, and that's very important for us to understand for this reason. I'm going to say this because as a father, as I know that my daughter is going to be going into her next chapter in life, I'm not just going to give her to any young man. I'm going to make sure that that young man, whoever it is, has a relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord. It's important for me to have that foundation. So we know that Joseph was a man, a young man who loved God. But we also know him for another important role in his life, and that is the earthly father of Jesus. I want you to think with me, men, if you could, for a little bit, that have gotten married and have experienced fatherhood. for the very first time that you laid your eyes, whether it be upon your son or upon your daughter, how that just consumed your life. I begin to picture Joseph in a different way last night as I was going over this lesson. And as he was trying to do everything that he could for the preparation of Jesus to come to this world, a young man, 17, 18 years of age, having to go from his home 90 miles away in Nazareth to go to Bethlehem to pay the tax that Caesar wanted him to pay. To take this young bride who was 15, maybe 13 years of age, who was due a child, not having the ability to get into a cab or call Uber or have their own vehicle, but to put their belongings on a little donkey and to travel 90 miles with a pregnant wife. And to go over all this mountainous terrain and to begin to take that the stubble out of the way, the rocks, the branches, or whatever may be in the way, so that she can have a smooth transportation as much as she could at that point in time. All that hard work that went in there, and once they finally got in there, Bethlehem is a very busy city. Even today, it's a very busy city. And as he would try to go to the place to find a place that he can put his wife in for the night so that they can settle down because they've had such a long journey and she's about to give birth very soon. And this young man, not having any type of a panic on his face or any type of a panic maneuver, because we don't read about this in Scripture. And as he would go, and he would go to the inn and say, "Hey, my wife's pregnant with child. Do you have a place for us to stay?" And he would be rejected, and he wouldn't have a place to stay. And so he would keep his composure, and he would continue to go forth. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a place that God has already prepared for them, and it's in a dirty old stable. And it's not a stable that you and I might imagine today, where we see this nice barn that's been built. By the way, a few weeks ago, Jeff and I and Jordan, we went out hunting, and we like to do this on occasions. And I've noticed when I was a young person that as you go out into our country, our rural area, there's a lot of farmhouses that have these old barns. And these old barns are now starting to fall apart. I love seeing the old barns. It says something about the place. It says that place has got character. It says that place has been through something. You can see how it's weathered the storm. But now you go out into these rural areas, and what are you seeing? These nice sheds that are being built with heat and air condition and all those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. We've advanced. Thank God for those things. But Mary and Joseph, they didn't have this at this point in time in their life. And now their face is, they got to go into this manger that's carved out inside a hillside. Has an opening, and that's about it. They're in there with the cows that might have been there at the time, maybe a couple goats and maybe some pigeons, maybe some doves. I don't know what was in there. But I do know this, that Joseph did his very best to give his newborn son a place to be. And then out of nowhere, Jesus is brought into this world. And when we begin to think about Jesus, we begin to think about Jesus as a man. That's what our mind's on already. But let me illustrate this morning. Jesus was not just a man, but Jesus came in a form of a baby. Not knowing how to talk at this point in time, trying to work on his smile, trying to keep his eyes open as babies go through this stage in their life. But I can just imagine Joseph at this point in time, knowing that this wasn't his biological son, but this is the son that God gave him to take care of. And he picks that baby up for the very first time and begins to hold Jesus in his arms. You know what we do, men and women, they do this more than we did when we're fathering our children. But when we get our babies in our arms, we begin to rock them back and forth. We got a couple parents that are just had some new babies here recently. I love seeing the look on the men's face. More so than I do seeing a woman. Why? Because I see the man having and taking pride in the child that God has given him. So I begin to think about Joseph, and I begin to think about the pride that just swelled in his heart and how he just began to fall in love with this baby named Jesus. He was the earthly father of Jesus. But as you go through the life of Joseph, you don't see really any more recognition for him. You don't see of anything else that really took place but him just being the earthly father of Jesus. He took care of Mary during his time. He wasn't willing to make her a public example. He hid her away privily. He was considerate of her feelings. Today we have men who can have no consideration for their spouse's feelings. Why? Because it's all about them. It's not about their wife or anything like that. They don't care for them, what they really need, or they don't take in consideration. But we see Joseph here really being considerate for everything that she was going through. We also see in verse number 24, you can look at it, but I won't read it. But you can also see in verse number 24, he was obedient to God. That's one of the qualifications I'm going to be looking for as my daughter steps into her next chapter in life. I'm going to look for a man who is obedient to God. That's important. Not obedient to the things of this world, but really seeking the will and really seeking the leadership of God. And doing what God wants him to do. And then as that takes place, she will follow. This is a beautiful picture that's taking place, that's unfolding right before us with the life of Joseph. I don't think God would have chosen Joseph if he was not obedient to him. But Joseph was obedient. And then even with what took place in the life of Mary, what did he do? He took her to wife. He was a noble man. We see this in verse number 24. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. The book of Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 16. It says this. It says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." We see Joseph being there for the arrival of the birth of Jesus. Think about that. He got to see Jesus come into this world through natural birth. Could she have struggled? I don't know. The Bible doesn't really record those things. I do know this, when women go into labor, they have a lot of pain. I do know this, that with our technology, what we've gone through in our world, they give women for pain so that their birth can be a lot easier than what it should be. I remember when Chris, when she was going through the delivery stage with Jalen, Jalen came so fast, she wasn't even able to get an epidural in her. That's how fast Jalen came. When Jalen came forth, she was born with dots all over her. They're little red dots, and we're very concerned about it. And the doctor said there's nothing to be concerned about. They call it petechiae. What's petechiae? That means she came out of the birth canal very fast. That's what it means. I do know there's a lot of pain that comes with giving childbirth. They say every time a woman gives birth to a child, it takes a year off of their life. That's what they say. But we see Joseph being a noble man. We see Joseph being there for the arrival of Jesus. We don't see Joseph the way we see men in marriages today when a child comes and they can't handle the responsibility and they leave the scene. We don't see that taking place. Well, that child's not mine. I'm not going to take care of you and I'm not going to take care of the child. No, Joseph was a noble man. We see in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 13, we see that he was a protector for his family. Well, how was he a protector for his family? You guys remember Herod the king? How he wanted to do away with the newborns at that point in time. Well, what did Joseph do? Joseph took his family, the place where they were comfortable, the place where they set up their residency. Their belongings were all there. And to protect his wife and to protect his son Jesus, he moved his family to Egypt. Sure, Egypt is not too far away from there. You can get there in our world today very quickly. But just imagine leaving Bethlehem, traveling down to Egypt. I say this for this reason. Bethlehem, it's up on a hillside. And Egypt is to the southwest of Bethlehem. And so they got to go through all that mountainous terrain to get to a land of safety. We see Joseph being willing to protect his family at all costs. After Herod's death, he then moved his family back to Israel. Not only was he obedient, but we see that he was faithful. Who was Joseph? He was a man who was obedient to God, and he was a man who was faithful to God. Men, it's not only important to be faithful to your wife, but it's important for you to be faithful to the God that you serve. And that's what we see with Joseph. We see in the book of Luke, chapter 2, and verse number 33, it wasn't just Joseph, but we see that Joseph and Mary was very proud of Jesus. How people spoke of him. They gloated. They were happy with how people looked at him and how they talked about him. Man, we get excited when our children does something phenomenal and everybody else recognizes it. What's that do? It makes us proud. You know, I'm not a father in here that has multiple children. I only have one daughter, and I'm proud of her. I'm proud of her accomplishments. And I know some of you might just turn me off right now. That's fine. I can gloat on my daughter at this point in time. But she's done some things that makes me proud. I'm proud of the fact that she loves God. I'm proud of the fact that she wants to serve God. Oh, you're just gloating about it. Hey, folks, when your children are wanting to serve God and love God, that's something we all should be gloating about. That's something that we all should be encouraging them to do. It doesn't matter the other things that they accomplish on earth. She's about ready to test for her third-degree black belt. That third-degree black belt's not going to matter in eternity. And I'm proud of the fact that she stayed committed to that, but I'm more proud of the fact that she has a heart for God. Joseph was proud of Jesus. Well, was he proud of Jesus? Well, I want you to think with me. Joseph was there. He was there for the delivery of Jesus. What did Joseph have to do? Not just by himself, but Mary as well. Joseph had to help teach Jesus how to speak. Joseph had to teach Jesus, think about this, how to walk. Joseph had to teach Jesus as a young man how to conduct himself. Joseph had to teach Jesus at a young age to work with his hands, to become a carpenter. Those are some things that Joseph was proud about. I'm leaving something out here, I'm going to tell you right now. But Joseph was proud of the fact that he loved his Heavenly Father. Joseph was proud of those things. See, these are some things that don't come to our thought process when we think about Joseph. We just think, well, yeah, God just used him to be the earthly father of Jesus. But I want you to understand what Joseph had to go through during this time. We see in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 55, we see that Joseph was a very handy man. He was a carpenter by trade. The thing that I just mentioned, that Joseph taught Jesus how to work with his hands. And when we think of carpenter, we automatically think of somebody working with wood. And that would be true, but they worked a majority of the time with mason work, carving things out of stone and all those things that came with this. He was a teacher to Jesus. He taught him the same skills that he had. But we also know this, that Jesus had siblings. And Joseph was able to father other children with Mary. We see this in the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse number 33. We know of one of his brothers, and his brother's name's James. Jesus had siblings. I can just imagine what Joseph had to do when those other siblings came on board and how he had to correct those children. He was very active in the younger years of Jesus, but here's something I want to point out. He never appeared during the adult years of Jesus. Does that ever come across your mind? At the age of 12, when Jesus was in the tabernacle teaching the rabbis, that's the last time we hear of Joseph in the life of Jesus. He wasn't around for his earthly ministries. He wasn't around for those miracles that were being performed, turning the water into wine. He wasn't around for the death of Jesus as he hung there upon the cross. And we see his mother being there and a few other people. And Jesus looking down, seeing his mother, not seeing his earthly father, but he sees his mother and he sees his mother and says, John, please take my mother home. But the last time he was mentioned was when he was the age of 12. Scripture doesn't record the death of Joseph. But what happened to Joseph? Do you realize God had his reasons for not mentioning Joseph in the adult years? And I hope I can sum it up with this. I believe it was because the focus was shifted to having a relationship with his heavenly Father. I believe that's why that focus took place. Because God did not want to spend the rest of the life of Jesus had on earth upon the relationship that he had with his earthly father. God wanted to spend and focus on the time about the relationship that he had with his heavenly father. Why? Because that's the same relationship that he wants to have with us today. And so he shows us the importance of Scripture, how to have a relationship with God. Where can we get a relationship with God? All those things. Whatever happened to Joseph, he was a man who loved Jesus very much. And God saw something good in him. I'm going to close with this thought. And I know I primarily talked about Joseph this morning. I know I focused upon the man. We see God looking down upon Joseph being obedient. We see God looking down upon Joseph being a faithful man. We see God looking down upon Joseph being a man who loves. We see God looking down upon Joseph being a man who teaches. But what does God see when he looks at you? The title of the message is very simple. Who was Joseph? With that being said, who are you? Let me go a little bit further. Who are you in him? Amen? Who are you in him?